last verse that you saw up on the screen. I as though he accepted, and he as though I accursed. Such a powerful picture. And that's what the Lord did for you. He did that for you. And maybe you came in here not aware of that, not impacted by that, not thinking about that. But you need to know that's what Christ did for you. And if you meditate on that and ponder that, it will move you. It should break you. God, forgive me. Forgive my sin. Forgive my wicked, proud heart. That's what we all are naturally. There are some of you here today, I just met you today. I don't know you very well at all. But I know the human condition because I'm part of that. And I know that we are proud, wicked, depraved sinners. And we need Christ's payment for our sin. There's no other way to please God. But with that blood applied to our account, I, as though he welcomed home, righteous before God. What a wonderful thing. Turn to John chapter 12, if you would please. John chapter 12. We're looking at the last portion of this chapter. And some powerful truths that are here. I've noticed, and maybe you have as well, as we've been studying the Gospel of John, there are a few themes and a few kinds of discourses and conversations that are recorded. They keep recurring. Similar kinds of conversations, similar kinds of statements of truth, they keep recurring and keep coming back up. And on one hand, it's hard for it not to become monotonous. Oh yeah, we've read this before. But God isn't redundant. God doesn't say, oh yeah, this is just filler. I'm going to put this in the scriptures. You've already heard it. It's not really adding anything, but just read it anyway. That's not what he does. Everything is important. And he does repeat himself. We need God to repeat himself. We need God to remind us. We need God to teach us again. We need God to speak to us again. And so there are familiar things that are here, but it's not redundant and irrelevant in that way. And so we're going to start in verse 44 and read to the end of the chapter these seven verses. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Let's pray. Lord, would you speak to us from your word? We don't have the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh standing here with us today to speak to us audibly, but we do have the sword of the Spirit. We do have the Bible, the love letter from God, as it's been called, the printed word, empowered by the Holy Spirit of God to speak to us. Lord, would you work in our hearts? Would you open our eyes to what we don't understand, what we've been blind to? Would you convict us? Would you bring praise to our hearts? Help us to worship you. Help us to be tender-hearted before you and submissive. Just do whatever you need to do in us now. In Jesus' name, amen. We know what an ambassador is supposed to do, what they're appointed to do, what their role is. An ambassador is a messenger, a peacemaker, a liaison, a contact from one country to another, sent on behalf of the sending country, speaking on behalf of the president or the king of that sending country, and is the spokesperson, the mouthpiece of that sending country to the other country. An ambassador does this. I've never been an ambassador, and I'm sure there are many details and finer points of it that I have no comprehension of. But we know that broadly, generally, an ambassador is empowered to speak for his nation's leader, her nation's leader. They're empowered to speak on behalf. They're empowered to make demands, make concessions, to interact, to make relationships, maybe to break relationships at times. But they are speaking for the leader from back home. And Christ was sent in a very similar way. A much greater way. An ambassador is sent for the purpose of communication. And communication is important. If you live the way, according to this saying, this idea of listen to what I mean, not what I say, you'll have problems in your life. Communication is really important. We need to say what we mean. And God says what he means. He says what he means. And if you study what he says, you'll know what he means. And we ought to speak clearly. Communication is important. Word choices matter. And it's important that we use the words that God uses and not words that the devil comes up with. You find in the world will try to get you to bring you over to their side, and they do it partly through using their words, communicating the way that they communicate. Word choices matter. If you're communicating with each other, maybe texting or writing a letter, an email or something, or speaking, spelling and grammar, especially in speaking, grammar matters. Punctuation and spelling, those things matter. They're important. They're part of communication. Word definitions matter. And we can both be using the same word and be arguing because we don't mean the same thing with that word. Word definitions matter. What do you mean by that? Let's communicate about that. Communication can be difficult because we often misspeak. I'm painfully aware of that potential with me up here. I have something in mind that I want to communicate, and I can say something I didn't intend to say. The wrong word comes out, and I didn't notice. Or maybe I do notice, and now I'm trying to clean up after that because that's not what I meant to say. We can misspeak. I didn't intend to say that. That's not what I'm trying to communicate, but it came out. We can misunderstand. I said exactly what I intended to say and what I meant, and you didn't understand that, and so we're on different pages. Misunderstanding, misspeaking. You know about the game of telephone, and it's a line of people, and you whisper the same message down the row, and by the time it gets to the end, it's not at all like it was at the beginning because of miscommunication, misunderstanding. It's important, and we know that communication is a two-way street. If you're having a conversation with someone but they never talk, that's not a conversation, you're just talking at them. Communication is how we get to know one another. I've gotten to know some of you just a little bit today. I've had only a couple of moments to visit with you, and I think in every case, I've given you at least a little bit of information from me, and you've given me some information from you. We're communicating back and forth, and I'm getting to know you a little bit, and that's how communication works. Without exchanging information about each other, we won't know much about each other or be very close. You're not very close to someone with whom you don't communicate. Communication is also how we get to know God. Do you communicate with him? I think probably a lot of people would say, yes, I talk to God. But does he talk to you? Because again, if it's just one-sided, you're just talking at someone. Oh, I'm close to God. I pray every day. What does he say back to you? How does he communicate with you? Do you know what that's like? I'm not talking about an audible voice in your ears. I've already spoken about the Spirit of God using the Word of God to speak to our hearts. How does God do that for you? Does he do that for you? If you don't have communication with him and from him, you won't know him. And that communication, the deep kind of communication. God can speak to a sinner's heart, a lost sinner's heart, to show them that they're lost and they need salvation. That's communication. But the deepest, the best kind, the closest kind of communication happens after a person is saved. That's when you really get to know God in a much deeper way. And in our text in John chapter 12, God is communicating with us very directly and very deeply. He's telling us some things about himself so that we can get to know him, so that we can understand him better. And Jesus is speaking words, of course, to his physical audience, the people that were there physically with him, but his words are recorded because these words apply to our lives as well. God wants us to know him, not just about him, not just have an idea about this. You know, some people use some very irreverent terms for God, the big man upstairs and, you know, these sorts of things, showing that they don't know him. God wants us to know who he really is. He is high and lifted up. He is the creator. He is a personal God. He's a loving God who is willing to exchange his robes for ours. This is who he is. And this text tells us some things about Jesus Christ and about God the Father. And I want us to have this idea, getting to know God. That's the title of the message. And if we pay attention to these verses, it will help us in getting to know God. Communication. And the Lord is communicating to us. I want us to note a few things in these verses about God. He's telling us some things about him, and we need to respond. Just like communication is a two-way street, God is communicating to us, and we need to communicate back, and we need to respond. First of all, verse 44, it says, Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. God wants us to know him. And this is something that is made evident in this verse. God wants us to know him because Jesus is God's ambassador and messenger. He says, if you believe on me, you're not ultimately believing on me. It's not doublespeak. He's saying, I was sent by someone. You're really believing on the one who sent me. And an ambassador, if they're going to be successful in that role, they are not accepted for themselves. They're accepted because of who they represent. Their word has power because of who they represent. They're an ambassador, and they are a messenger, and they're sent. They're a negotiator in some cases. They're sent by the nation who stands behind them. And Jesus is saying, if you believe on me, you're not just believing on me as a man standing here. And this was important for the Jews to hear that, because Jesus was very careful to say over and over, I'm not just a random guy standing up saying you have to trust in me. You need to know who has sent me. You need to know the words I speak. You need to know that they're God's words, God the Father's words. I'm on behalf of him. This is the truth. He came on God's behalf, and he is God. And we'll continue to see that. John 5, verse 30, Jesus says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father, which hath sent me. A corrupt ambassador says, hey, you know, I've got this position in this foreign country, and if I work this right, I can get bribes and give favors and really get myself ahead and live a really good life over here. That's not being an ambassador on behalf of the sending country. That's for living for self. And Jesus says, I don't do that. I am here by the command of the Father. Whatever he wants me to do, that is all I will do. I will do only that. I'm thankful that God sent an ambassador to the earth. I'm thankful that he sent a sacrifice. He could have ignored us and left us alone. He could have just left us to our own devices. Where would you be if left to your own devices? God could have judged us. You and I, we could go down the Ten Commandments. And I think we only get one or two in before we'd find out that we're all guilty. He could have judged us for that. He would be justified, but he didn't. Instead, he's reaching out to us and speaking to us. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. This is the kind of God that he is. He says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You know what the silent treatment is? I'm sure that you do. It is saying, I'm not going to speak or communicate with you because you've offended me. And it's really a carnal way of handling things. God doesn't do that. He could, and we've offended him to deserve that. But he says, let's reason. Come, I'm inviting you. Let's speak. Let's reason together. I want you to see your sin. I want you to see my holiness so that you and I can agree about your sin and you can come over to my side and we can have fellowship. He could have given us the silent treatment, the stiff arm. He doesn't do that. He's asking us, inviting us to come to him. And that's why he sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 20, turn over there. God wants us to know him. And Jesus said, if you believe on me, you're not believing on me, you're believing on the one who sent me, reminding us that God sent the Son so that we could believe on him and be right with him. He wants us to know him. He wants us to come into fellowship with him. He's not looking for a chance to judge us. He wants us to know him. Luke 20, verse 9. We find this same spirit in this parable and the owner of the vineyard. Then began he to speak to the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and led it forth to husbandmen and went into a far country for a long time. Husbandmen, the overseers, the hired servants to take care of the vineyard. And at the season, he sent a servant to the husbandmen that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. It belonged to the man. He's the owner. And he sent a servant to go collect. But the husbandmen beat him and sent him away empty. If I were the owner, I probably would have called the police at that point. But he didn't. And again, he sent another servant, and they beat him also and entreated him shamefully and sent him away empty. And again, he sent a third, and they wounded him also and cast him out. This owner is very long-suffering. Verse 13, then said the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be they will reverence him when they see him. And this is a parable about God and sinners. God sent prophet after prophet after prophet, and people rejected and punished and resisted the prophets. God sent his only begotten son, and they killed him. But we see God's long-suffering, his desire for us to know him. I'm thankful that he sent Christ on his behalf. This is the truth, that God wants us to know him. So what should we do in response? He's communicating with us. He sent us the living word, the Son of God. How should we respond? God is communicating with us. What should we do? We should say, speak to me. I'm listening. You want me to know you? I'm listening. I'm paying attention. I'll respond. The young boy Samuel, God was speaking to him in 1 Samuel 3. It says, the Lord came and stood and called us at other times, Samuel, Samuel, an audible voice in this case. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. I'm listening. I want to hear from you. Talk to me. This should be our response. Have you come to church this morning eager to hear from God? Is that why you're here? I want God to speak to me. God sent his son. God wants me to know him. I want to know him, and so I'm listening. Speak to me right now. Lord, please. Is this your attitude? He's calling out to you. He is communicating to your soul. Do you want to hear from him? We see the wrong attitude. In Acts 7, verse 55, it's talking about a man, Stephen, a Christian, a saved man, godly man. He was full of the Holy Ghost. He looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. He's preaching to religious Jews. They did not like the message. And Stephen raises his eyes and God gives him vision into heaven. He sees Jesus and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. God is speaking to those people. God is saying, listen to this man. This man is preaching Christ. Listen to what he has to say. Be tenderhearted to my truth. And what was their response? Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And there might be some here this morning that you're not holding your hands up to your ears. That would draw too much attention, but that's your heart. I don't want to listen, and so I'm going to distract myself. Maybe I'll pull up my phone. Maybe I'll daydream a while. I don't want to listen. I know I've heard all this before. Yeah, I know. Maybe one day I'll be interested, but not now. God's speaking. That's nice. I don't want it. I don't want to listen, and so I'm not going to. Our response should be, speak to me. I'm listening. God wants us to know him. What a privilege. If not everybody approves of different elected leaders, but the person, the famous person, whoever it is, the most famous person that you can think of, that you would be flattered if they gave you a call. Your phone rings, you look at the caller ID, and it's that name. You'd pick up, you'd answer. Whoa, why are they calling me? This is, wow, I feel pretty flattered right now. Boy, this is special. Hello? You'd want to know them. You'd want to get to meet them. God, the creator of the universe, is calling. And people just dismiss the call and put the phone away. Answer. Speak to me. This is our response. God wants us to know him. Secondly, God communicates clearly with you. John 12, verse 45, Jesus says, "And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me." Not every ambassador is a good one. Again, I don't have a lot of personal knowledge with this sort of thing, but I'm just going to say, because human nature is human nature, I'm sure that not every ambassador has been a good ambassador. Some ambassadors do not speak on behalf of their nation's leader. They do not speak and deal truthfully and with integrity and character. They are very bad ambassadors. Maybe they go with a message and they change the message to say the opposite. I don't know. But Christ is the perfect one. He said, "If you see me, you've seen him that sent me." He is a perfect communication from God. We can easily misspeak. I'm trying to communicate and I made a mistake. The wrong word came out, but God is the perfect communicator. Look over at John 14, a page or two over. John 14. In verse 7, Jesus says, "If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Philip, his ear grabbed onto those last couple words, "have seen him." Philip saith unto him, "Lord," verse 8, "show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Wow, if we could see God the Father, that would really be enough. "Lord, show us the Father." Verse 9, Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" Philip, you don't understand. God is the perfect communicator, and he sent me, Jesus is saying. He sent me, so if you've seen me, this is what the Father looks like. That's thrilling to me, because God is a spirit, Jesus says in John 4. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I don't see a spirit. We don't see spirits. I know some paranormal investigators think that they do. I don't think they see spirits. We don't see spirits. We see physical things. We don't see God the spirit, but Jesus has a physical body, and we can't see his physical body yet. One day in heaven we will. But Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He is the perfect communication of God the Father. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1, a favorite passage of mine, talking about Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 1, God is a perfect communicator. He communicates clearly. All that's left is for us to understand correctly. But if we'll pay attention and we'll listen, "Speak to me," then we will understand. He will help us understand. He is a perfect communicator. Hebrews 1, verse 1. "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners," many different times and in many different ways, "spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son." He's communicating through Jesus. "Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who," Christ now, "Christ being the brightness of his," the Father's, "glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." I love these verses. And over, if you're willing to see them, over and over, you will see that works can never save you. He by himself purged our sins. He doesn't need your help. He He does it by himself. But he is the express image of his person. He is the brightness of God's glory. These are things that are hard for us to maybe imagine, but we ought to believe them. It says, and so it's true. He is the express image of God's person. You look at Christ, you see God the Father. He is the perfect ambassador. This is what God is and what he says and what he looks like. It's in Christ. And so what should be our response? Well, again, going back to a king or a president, when the leader of a nation speaks, people listen. Because what he's communicating has weight. He's in a position to make decisions and change things. And so when he speaks, people are paying attention. They may not like what they hear, but they do want to hear it. How much more important is it to listen when God speaks? God is the perfect communicator, and he speaks to us from his word. You may not naturally like what he says, but you need to hear it. It ought to be your response. God communicates perfectly, so I'm going to listen. Listen to what he says. Trust what he says. Listen to Zechariah chapter 7, verses 8 to 12. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying," are you listening? Here, this is important. God speaking. "Execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassions every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. And let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart." God says this, and what was their response? But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder. I think it's neat how God describes body language. They pulled away the shoulder. There's an attitude there. I will not listen. I don't want to pay attention. And stop their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they have made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. I assume that you're here because you don't have this attitude. I don't know why someone would come to church if they had this attitude. But I think we can come without this attitude and then develop this attitude. When God puts his finger on our sin and on our pride, and we say, I don't like that. I don't want to conform to that. No. I'm going to harden my heart. I'm going to endure this time. I'm going to wait till the hour's over, and then I'm going to go and be the way I want to be. I'm not willing to conform to this. We know exactly what God's saying, but we don't like what God's saying. Did you come hungry to hear from God? Did you come eager to heed God's word? This is clear communication from the Creator. You should come eager to say, I don't know what he wants me to do, but I'm listening. And when he shows me, as I know he can and will, he's a clear communicator, then I will heed it. That's my spirit. That's my attitude. Did you come thankful that God is honest and trustworthy? Some people communicate poorly. They want to deceive you. God does not do that. He knows how to communicate with us. Are you listening? Let's go back to John 12. We'll see the next thing. God wants us to know him. If we'll pay attention and believe these things, it will help us in getting to know God. He wants us to know him. He communicates clearly with us. Verse 46, John 12, 46, Jesus says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. There are some universal things that are communicated here. A light into the world. Jesus says he is the light of the world. In John 9, he says that. Here he says he is a light into the world, that whosoever should not abide in darkness. So the world is pretty universal. That includes everybody. And whosoever means anybody. And the otherwise, if you don't believe on the Lord, you will abide in darkness. So there are really two options here. You're either in darkness or you're not. You either come to him or you don't. You're one or the other. God cares for all, whosoever. He doesn't say, well, I've got my favorites and everybody else, you know, you're on your own. He says, whosoever, into the world, it's the whole world, anybody can come to me. Darkness is the result if we don't. God cares about man's need. He doesn't want you to live in darkness. Spiritual darkness is a terrible condition. Proverbs 4:19 says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. When you're walking in darkness, you run into things, and you don't know where they were, if they're broken. If you're broken, you might feel it if you break something. You don't know, how do I avoid it in the future? I don't know, because it's dark. That's what the life of sin is. It's frustrating. It's defeating. And God wants to give us light. Look at Matthew chapter 4. Christ came, sent from God so that we could have light. He wants everyone to have the light. He cares for all. This is what we can know about God. He loves us and cares for every single one of us. He's communicating some things about himself so that we can get to know him. Matthew 4, verse 12, it says, now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast, and the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus is the light. He came into a dark place. This world is a dark place. This region was a dark place. They sat in darkness. The light had come, and he begins to preach the message of light, and he begins to call other messengers of light. Follow me, I will make you fishers of men, because this world is in darkness and God wants to send light to men's hearts. He cares for all. He invites all in darkness to come to him. Jesus said, whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Without Christ, you do abide in darkness. And I presume there are some here today that are abiding in darkness. You don't have to stay there. God wants you to know him. He's calling you. So how do we respond to this? Don't you want to know this loving, benevolent God? He doesn't have to love us. He doesn't have to help us. He doesn't have to give us light. He's not obligated to do any of that. He didn't have to send Christ to die for us. But he loves us, and he wants to communicate to us. He wants not just to rescue us, but for us to know him. Don't you want to know this God? Psalm 55:16 says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. This is what he'll do. Look at Matthew 14. A few pages over, Matthew 14. How do you respond to this God who is extending his mercy to you? Extending his goodness. How do you respond? We see Peter respond this way. Verse 28, Peter is in the boat, and he answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He was walking on the water by Jesus' power, God's power. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? The Lord is extending help to you and me. We're not walking on the water right now. How do we respond to God's care? Lord, save me. Cry out to him. Don't try to depend on your own solutions. Cry out to this God who's communicating with you. Go back to John chapter 12. We'll see verse 47. He cares for all. Whosoever will come can know him, can have this light. John 12:47, Jesus says, and if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Later in these verses, as we'll see, he's not saying that God doesn't judge sinners. He's saying now is not the time for judgment. Christ didn't come the first time to judge. He didn't come as the judge. He didn't come to punish. He didn't come for that reason. He came to save. And I see by this, again, God is communicating through his Son. God is showing us that he is merciful. I'm sending a solution. I'm sending, throwing a lifeline, so to speak. I'm here to offer you my mercy. I'm sending my Son, not to judge you. I could have done that already. I'm sending my Son to save you because I am merciful. This is what God wants you to know about him. He is merciful. God's ambassador, the express image of his person, the Holy Son of God, didn't come in judgment the first time, but in mercy. And God wants the whole world to know that he is a God of mercy. I think it's interesting, the first instance of the word mercy, or merciful, any form of the word mercy in Scripture, Genesis 19:16. Lot in the city of Sodom, it says, while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. A great picture of salvation. God says, you don't have to stay in the place of judgment. Come out of that place of judgment. Don't be judged with those Sodomites, those wicked people. You're mine. Come out of there. God's mercy rescuing someone from judgment. And he wants to rescue you from judgment. Your sin has earned judgment. My sin deserves judgment. God wants to rescue us because he is merciful and he sent Christ. Christ came in mercy. Let me read for you Matthew 9, verses 11 to 13. For sake of time, we won't turn there. Matthew 9, 11, it says, and when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Why does he hang around with those despicable, wicked people? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Healthy people don't go to the doctor. Sick people go to the doctor. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He's quoting Scripture, and he says, you go search the Scriptures. Search, find out where it says in the Bible, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. You meditate on that a while. You think about that. You study what God means when he says that. And then he says, I, speaking of himself, Christ, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. If you think you're righteous, you don't need Christ, you don't need salvation, I'm not here for you. I'm here for those that see themselves as sinners. I'm here for those that need mercy, that would cry out for God's mercy. If Peter, walking on the water, started to sink and he's like, well, I learned to swim for a reason. I can handle this. Christ wouldn't have grabbed him out. But Christ immediately reached out and grabbed him when Peter cried out. He threw himself on God's mercy. If you're going to be saved, you need to respond to God's mercy by crying out to him. Luke 18, we see a powerful example of this. Look at Luke 18 quickly. Again, Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, and we know that there are none righteous, no, not one. But many people believe they are righteous. The Pharisees did. And they said, why are you hanging around with unrighteous people? Well, Jesus said, I'm here for people that realize they need a Savior. Luke 18, verse 9, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, he's praying with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And I don't know if he had that tone of voice, but this is the attitude. And the publican, verse 13, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He's crying out. He's admitting who he is. He's admitting that he needs mercy. He can't earn it. He's not thanking God for his own righteousness. He's begging God for mercy. And the Lord says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, rather than the Pharisee. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. God is merciful, and he's offering mercy. And we need to respond to his communication of mercy by crying out for it. by receiving it. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. David says in Psalm 51:1, have mercy upon me, O God, crying out for it. Look back at John 12. The Lord is communicating many things in his word. He wants us to know him. He communicates perfectly with us. He says exactly what he means. And we can know the truth by learning and listening and heeding what he says. He is caring and loving for all the world. He is merciful, but he is also just. John 12:48 says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. Some people think that the laws are meant to be broken and there's no enforcement. It's a guide. You can follow them if you want. If you can get away with breaking them, so much the better. God does not work that way. Christ said, I'm not here to judge. But there will be a time of judgment. Judgment is coming. It will come. God is just. And this is something he wants us to know as well. God is just. He's not a cruel disciplinarian. He's not hovering over us with a hammer just waiting for us to step out of line and so he can crush us. He's not looking for any excuse to punish us. Instead, he is looking for every reason to pardon us. Christ is available to take our punishment. God's justice will and can be satisfied in Christ for your sin. But God is perfectly just. If we reject his mercy, we will experience his judgment. Look at Luke chapter 10 quickly. Luke chapter 10, verse 13. God will not overlook or excuse sin. It will all be judged, either in Christ's payment or in your judgment, one way or the other. Luke 10:13, the Lord says, woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida, two cities in the area of Galilee. For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. You have seen God work among you, and you are unrepentant. These wicked, wicked, pagan, vile cities of history, Tyre and Sidon, they would have come to God sooner if they had seen these works. Verse 15, and thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shalt be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. He's sending out his disciples, and if they reject your message, I gave you the message. They're not just rejecting you, they're rejecting me. If they reject me, they're rejecting the Father. God is just. You see God work, you hear God communicate, you hear what God says, and you reject it, there will be judgment for that. Christ has come because there is a period of mercy. 2 Peter 2:9 says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. There is punishment coming. So what do we do? What's our response to God's justice? We need to believe the gospel. Look at Romans chapter 1. A lot of scripture this morning. I don't want to just tell you what God says. I want us to read what God says. He is the perfect communicator. Romans chapter 1, verse 15. Paul says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. God communicates himself, and it's revealed in the gospel. Christ came to be our payment. He came to die in our place, He rose again and is sitting on the right hand of the Father. He has defeated sin in the grave. That is the gospel. And he wants to take your punishment. You need to repent and turn your back on your sin and trust in what Christ did alone. None of your works, no blessing that any other man can give you. It's in Christ and Christ alone. This ought to be our response to God's justice. Christ suffered for us, 1 Peter 2 says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto Christ, by whose stripes ye were healed. This is what the gospel is. Christ preached the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. This should be our response to God's justice. No sin will go unpunished. No sinner will go overlooked. You will not escape. You will not be able to explain away your sin. You'll not be able to justify yourself. Sometimes if you have a good story, you can get away with sin and not be punished. God will not operate that way. There is no defense. When you stand before God, you will have no defense for yourself. There will be no words. The evidence will be compelling and conclusive. There will be no defense whatsoever. God is just. And so our response to his justice should be to believe the gospel so that God can judge us in the person of Christ, God's ambassador, and God's payment for our sins is the same person. Look at John chapter 12 one last time. We see the last thing here. John 12, verse 50. God communicates with us. I'm so thankful he tells us these things. We have to believe him. That's a choice that we make. Will we take God at his word? John 12, 50, it says, and I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. His commandment is life everlasting. His words give life. He is God. God is Almighty God. He wants us to know him. He communicates clearly. He cares for all. He is merciful. He is just, and he is Almighty God. Psalm 119, 130 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Matthew 4, 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It is God's word that gives life. Only God could do that. It's been said, if you think that your word has power, try making your cat come inside at night. Our words don't do much. They make noise. God's word creates worlds. God's word gives eternal life. God's word breaks us free from the chains of sin. God's word gives us power to live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, and to do his work. God's word is powerful. And he has the power to condemn as well. Luke 12, 5, Jesus says, but I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. And at the judgment, God will give that command. For those that are lost, take them out and cast them into everlasting fire. He's Almighty God. So what should be our response to this knowledge about God? Well, it kind of brings us full circle. We need to listen when he speaks. He wants us to know him. So what should be our response? We need to listen when he speaks. He's Almighty God. So what should be our response? We need to listen when he speaks. Samuel said, speak, for thy servant heareth. We need to listen. In Exodus 19:8, the people expressed a desire to obey what God speaks. They said, the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. We need to listen when God speaks. We need to obey when God speaks. And we need to trust when God speaks. Titus 1, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word or made it visible through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. We've spent some time today getting to know God. Were you listening? Were you attentive? Will you respond? I'm not the perfect communicator. There are probably some things that I could have said better, could have said more clearly. God is the perfect communicator. The Spirit of God knows how to make you understand. Are you listening? Are you responding? Communication's a two-way street. God wants to communicate with you, and so he sent his only begotten Son. God communicates clearly with you. His ambassador, Jesus Christ, is the perfect image of God the Father. When you look at Christ, you're seeing God the Father. God cares for all sinners, and so he sends us what we truly need, light in our darkness. God is merciful. Christ didn't come to judge, but to save. God is just. All those who reject his mercy and his communication will be judged for their sins. And God is Almighty God. He has the power to save and to condemn. And so we need to trust him and listen to what he says. But that's your choice. God has made a lot of choices already to communicate and to speak and to convict. You have a choice to make. You can say no. You can turn your back. You can stop your ears. But you will be the one who suffers and will be judged. It will be your choice. God doesn't get any blame for that. He's telling us how we can know him. He wants you to know him. And now you have a choice to make. Let's pray. Lord, would you help us to make the right choice?